Once there were two robins who came across the freshly watered garden and caused innumerable worms to surface, and they looked down on that and saw a feast and settled down into the garden and began to eat and gorge themselves, and pretty soon decided it was too much of an effort to fly away, so they decided they would just close their eyes and hunker down and bask in the sunshine. And a little bit later along came a tomcat, gobbled him up. And as the tomcat was sitting there thinking, he said, "You know, I love Baskin Robbins." Oh. I didn't get that out of Hezekiah either. Sometimes we need to look at things from a different perspective, especially the scripture, because the scripture says that His ways are not our ways, nor His thoughts our thoughts. And because of that, He looks at many things in life that are just backwards. Give, and it shall be given unto you. No, get and save, and it'll be given unto you. He that loses his life for my sake will keep it. He that keeps his life will lose it. And we look at those things and we think, how does that make sense? How does God's view of things make sense? Well, the reason that we need to do that is the scripture says that's a transforming situation. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, he said, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The problem of life oftentimes is our mind. We don't think we can, so we can't. Or we don't like somebody, so we just perceive them as being bad or evil or nasty or whatever. It's our mind primarily. In fact, anyone who wants the blessing of God, anyone who wants to pursue the ways of God, seem to be few. And one of the reasons for that, to put it a little more succinctly in our language, it's a lack of faith stemming from stinking thinking. And so he says there needs to be a renewing of our minds to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we've been looking and emphasizing this passage for several weeks here. Every believer should walk and can walk in the will of God. And the reason we don't revolve around these three steps, we don't make that commitment. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. I don't like that word sacrifice. If I'm sacrificing, then there's a lot of things I'm not getting or enjoying or engaging in that I might want to. But no, he's saying, I will give you those things. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And we say, now you add them unto me, and then I'll seek you. We always get it backwards. And so in this passage, he says, if you don't present your body, your chances of walking securely and firmly and consistently in the will of God goes very low. And the second one is, stop being conformed to this world. And that's tough because the world has a full-time job squeezing us into its mold. That's what the world wants to do. That's, you need to conform. You don't want to be a nonconformist. You don't want to be intolerant. You don't want to be negative. So the world sets the agenda as to what that means. It's always amazing to me how the world can define certain words as being unacceptable, and then go ahead and use other words that we find unacceptable freely. They don't care about that. Be not, or stop being, conformed. You have to be conscious of how that works. And this morning we're looking at that third one, be transformed. Now that's a great word. Transform comes from the word metamorphosthe in the Greek, and we bring it right over into the English and call it a metamorphosis. And a metamorphosis, the word morph in the middle there, means form. It is a complete change of form and function, and best illustrated by the caterpillar. It is a grub. It is a worm. It is a caterpillar. And it's limited as to what it can do. It's even ugly, if we dare say so. And I'm sure in the sight of God, the life of a lot of people is just ugly. And God says, I want to transform your life. Christianity is not conformity, and that's one of the real problems and weaknesses of churches. We think if we get people to conform to what we want them to do, somehow that makes them spiritual. It makes things go more smoothly if everybody agrees that you don't drink, smoke, swear, chew, and run around with girls that do, that somehow you're spiritual, and everybody will be happy if you do that. That has nothing to do with transformation of life. Be transformed. So, in the scripture, there's a number of illustrations of this. Well, just a few, actually. That word is not often used. It's used here for what God is doing for us and in us to make us capable of truly walking in his will. In Matthew, after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother. Now, that's 6 days after he said, there are some of you standing here who will not see death till they see the Son of God coming in his glory. Wow. If you were one of the disciples tagging along there, and Jesus said, the kingdom's going to come right now. Man, we got in under the wire. We're there. We're going to see it. It's going to come, and bring it on. And so 6 days later, Jesus takes them up into a high mountain, probably Mount Hermon in this case, which is the highest mountain in Israel, high enough that they actually have skiing up there. It gets cold and have snow. And as he was up there, he was transfigured. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. Same Greek word. He was metamorphized. He went through a metamorphosis right in front of them, as he's talking with Moses and Elijah. And they see this. His garments shone in brightness and light. And you need to go to Revelation chapters 1, 2 to see the transfiguration there of what Christ looks like. John, who was Jesus' closest friend, one of the closest, falls at his feet. He's struck with this mighty image. And yet that's what God says, I want you to be to the world. Now, not physically, we couldn't handle it and the world couldn't handle it either. But the character and the responses and the actions of God's people that he's transforming is to be observed and seen by the world. In Romans, where he states that, we look at that passage because if you take those points, you will find them reaching out into almost every major doctrine, especially life-related doctrines in the scripture. We looked at this passage not long ago, we all with open face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed, and he uses that word there. It's a metamorphosis because it is a changing of our minds into that same image. And this metamorphosis is essential to the Christian life because our thinking is, I can never be what I want to be. And God says, you can be much more than what you can imagine you can be. And we look in the mirror, he says, to see that. Look in the mirror and see what God is doing in your life. Transformed to bear the image of Christ. Why does he do that? Well, in the passage he says, because we have this ministry and we manifest the truth, God's word, by our transformed life. Does the word work, or is it just a philosophy? It's like kind of the opposite of hedonism. Hedonism says do everything you want and makes you feel good. Christianity said don't do things you want and make you feel good. You do things that God wants, whether it makes you feel good or not. But if you do those things, ultimately you'll get to heaven. And people look at it and say, I'm not sure I want to do that. Or they say, well, I'll learn about it, and then just before I die, I'll get serious about, you know, doing that kind of stuff. And God says, no, that's not. That is conformity. That's religion. And God says, I want transformation, because in the transformed life, people can see, does the scripture work? And if they see it working in your life, then they tend to believe. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How is the world going to know the glory of God? It will see the glory of God as God transforms our life. And that's a tough process, to be honest with you. We don't really want a lot of transformation because we like life pretty much the way it is. And God says, no, transformed to that image. And to make it even worse, he says, we have this treasure, this transformation that's going on in an earthen vessel, clay pot. And therefore, people see the clay pot. And they don't always see the transformation. Now, another theme of this says, Christ, who is the image of God, we all are changed into the same image. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he wraps it up, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And that's what God says will impress the world. A new creation. Something that is different. Something that shows God can work in lives. And that's what God wants to see. Another theme reaches out from that. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now we have no trouble with that. God came in the flesh, Emmanuel. God was in Christ. Christ went out and taught and preached and did the things that demonstrated who he was. And he had a ministry. Dan, you want to get that? Vern? Might have fallen. And in that theme of God being in Christ, reconciling the world, he then adds this statement. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We often take that verse by itself out of context, and he's saying we need to understand that God has called us as he called Christ to be ambassadors for Christ. Victory in living is based on this concept. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're a new creation. You're changing, transforming in your life. And there when Paul says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We can't say that apart from a transformative process in our life. Well, the context of all of this, as we concluded, it's done by a renewing of your mind. It's the only way it can happen, a different way of looking at things. Beholding as in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We just don't tend to do that. God says, learn to do that. The battlefield for the believer is the mind. And yet the scripture says we have the mind of Christ. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that's the morphe of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, the function, the appearance of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found, and by the way, the word likeness there is the word schemati. He was made, remember when we looked at the previous word, be transformed, it was schemati, from which we get the word schematic. The world would diagram you to function as they want you to function. He was built with that function of a man, without sin, but he felt as we felt. He had friends. He laughed. He discussed. He had fellowship. He sympathized. He grieved. He had compassion. He loved children. And that's why Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's quote Romans 12, 1 and 2 together. You should be able to do that by now. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The three steps: present your body, stop being conformed, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The real question is, do we make that commitment to present ourselves to God? Do we trust God to do what is best in our life? Do we walk in obedience to his word? Father, thank you. You give us eternal life. You give us all that pertains to life and godliness. You give us the power of your spirit. You give us the ability to be transformed to the image of Christ. A new creation. Old things having passed away and all things having become new. We thank you for this, Father, and thank you that you give us the grace to walk with you. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.